don't worry about that.
All right,
one.
Headphones on, Joshy.
Don't worry
good
about
to see
that.
You, mate. No, no, no. I'll change the first tackle.
Okay. All right. I'm quite happy. Yeah, it is a hot potato.
Okay,
one.
Let's talk about it.
We don't go by script.
What the hell is going on?
Mate, it is absolutely incredible there at Manly. Obviously, the Penn family, the owners of the club, have given the new CEO a mandate to clean out the joint because the performances just aren't good enough, both on and off the field. Mm. Manly currently running last, no prospect of a win coming up with their current roster, I don't think. And they lost $1.7 million last year, which the owners have to put their hand in their pocket for. So, obviously, the controlling influence in the football department is the Fulton family at the moment. Bob Fulton, the immortal, you know, the patriarch of Manly, hired some years ago when the club was on its knees again after losing Kieran Foran and Daly Cherry Evans. Mm. So it really needed his know-how, but probably the last 18 months haven't gone to plan for Manly. He's hired a lot of his family members in influential positions, and I think you can see that the Penn family want to undo that now, and they've got this new CEO in to undo it. And it's going to be, as people know, Bob Fulton, a very powerful figure. He's not going to go easily. It's going to be a very, very interesting couple of weeks.
Well, they asked Bob back, didn't they, in 2014? It was like,
as a saviour.
He came back in to change things.
Yep, that's right. And I think the problem with Manly over the years is that they look for quick fixes. Mm. They'd lost Kieran Foran to Parramatta. At that time, Cherry Evans had signed with the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. They needed a good PR story at the time. And what better than bringing a guy like Bob Fulton back into the club? And just some weeks later, he convinced Daly Cherry Evans to backflip. At the time, a great story. 18 months later, $10 million deal over 8 years, in his form at the moment. Do we agree with that? I don't think we'll find many Manly
below
fans.
Below par, it has been. And has to play more direct, and he needs a lot more help than he's currently getting as well.
That's right, but the pressure, even before Daly Cherry Evans steps on the field, the pressure that money puts on him. Look at Ben Hunt, the pressure he's under. It just creates a real false economy. Jonathan Thurston's not even on that type of money. Mm. And with respect to Daly Cherry Evans, a very good footballer, I don't think he's Jonathan Thurston.
Of course he's not. Of course he's not. But at the time, he did the deal, so good luck to him. But Tim Cleary's coming as the new CEO. Now, Tim worked across the road at St. Augustine's as the principal. He'd be well and truly aware of the influence Bob Fulton has at that Manly Football Club. And, of course, Peter Peters is also linked to that with Bozo. And he would not, there's no way you could take that CEO position at that Manly Football Club without getting some sort of assurance from the Penn family that you could have carte blanche, you could have control, and you could make the big decisions. So at this stage, we'll try and chat with Scott later on in the morning, but he's come out, he's backing Tim Cleary. Does that mean he's not backing Bob Fulton?
Well, I can only assume that's the case.
Well, I don't
Well, there's two parts of a football club or of an NRL club. There's the administration and the football department. Now, what I understand this tension between Cleary and Fulton is that Fulton doesn't want him to having anything to do whatsoever with the football department. And Cleary has said, well, I'm the CEO. I've got to be across all parts of this organisation, from the ball boys to the annual report. So there's a bit of tension there straight away. And, of course, sacking Christy, Bob's daughter, last week. Now, I can tell you a little bit about why that happened. Tim Cleary's personal assistant, who was also with him at St. Augustine's, is none other than Pam King, who is the mother of Jason King.
Jason, yeah.
Now, she resigned suddenly last week after just 6 weeks at Manly. That didn't go down very well with Tim Cleary. A couple of days later, Christy was given her marching orders. You put the dots together. Yeah. And that has been the start of all this. It would be fascinating to hear from Scott Penn on this, because he's obviously put Tim Cleary there to do a job. Does he have the stomach to see it through?
Yeah, well, this is
be intriguing.
And it's not an easy task. Yeah. And Slats is a supporter, and I think they've just had a gutful of the club being in turmoil,
don't you? And I don't care. Yeah, you know, Manly have been able to keep it separated at times, front office to the playing group. But if it's rumbling here, it affects the players in some way.
Yeah, 100%.
It crosses over. So,
and it would affect a lot of the players who were signed by Fulton. If he were to go, then they'd wonder, oh, there's a new administration in.
Yeah.
They'll see us as Fulton signings. You've seen it at other clubs when there's a change of administration, a change of coach. Yeah. The clean out goes into the playing groups.
I know we should be doing your seven tackles, but a bit of a shock that John Lee's gone from the Roosters.
Yes.
The CEO. I mean, he finishes at the end of the month and, of course, came with a terrific CV from the Rabbitohs and then into the Roosters. Got him through that turmoil of last year, and looks like it's all smooth sailing this year, and he finishes at the end of the month, and Nick Politis either has someone else in mind already.
I'm sure he does.
I don't think Nick makes these decisions to have a vacant office there in the corner.
It is a tough gig, the Roosters CEO, isn't it? There's been a few of them over the years.
Not if you tow Nick's line, it's not, I don't think.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of inside running on this one as well, because it was mysterious. The Roosters won the Nines. They're undefeated in the NRL at the moment. Sacking the CEO seems to be a curious decision, but I understand that last year John Lee was helping a television personality with his contract, and I don't know if that went down too well with the Roosters board.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So that's one thing I know. The rest of it, I'm not too sure. It's very fresh news, but John Lee finishes up at the end of the month. Always was very good with the media. Quite a bit of a showman. Quite an entertaining type of CEO.
Had a really good grasp, to my way of thinking, on many of the other issues apart from just footy.
Yeah,
as well.
And coming from that, politics, he was a well-rounded guy.
Yeah, that affects the club. You know, even down to transport and everything. Mm.
All right, mate. The Tigers, Tim Simona, that tell-all confessional. He did throw teammates or ex-teammates now under the bus, alleged cocaine use on that cruise, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. That was the one sentence in that entire 5 pages of transcript that I found that knocked me off my feet. And imagine if you were in that Tigers team on that cruise reading that, how you would feel. Oof. They come out a few hours later and get flogged by Penrith. I'm not surprised. So obviously this set the phones ringing itself, sent tongues wagging. And we were told during the week that a couple of days after that cruise, the Tigers had an end of season review. So this is quite common before they go on their break for the club to do some measurements and testing and interviews. And basically what occurred on that morning was that around 6 players called in sick, claiming that they had food poisoning, which was curious. So then I made some more phone calls and I found out that there were actually drug testers at the club there that morning. That's not uncommon either. The NRL has warned clubs that it blitzes after Mad Monday. So an interesting little postscript to the Tim Simona thing there. I'm slightly surprised the Tigers and the NRL haven't looked into this a little bit more. I think a lot of fans are talking about it and would like some sort of resolution to it.
Yeah.
I'm sure since this has come out, there would have been a meeting with the squad.
Yes, I'm with you.
And I'm sure they've had the finger pointed at them. Oh. If any of you, there's no names, but any of you have participated or participate in this, stop now.
Yeah. Again, we quizzed Aaron Woods yesterday on the program. Not too sure whether you heard it or not, Josh, but he was quite forthright in his comments regarding his lack of tolerance at all for any, I don't even like calling them recreational drugs. They're illegal drugs. They're illegal substances. So he was quite strident.
He has to be, TK, because for Justin Pascoe to come out and say there's no cocaine issue at our club, when two players, Kyle Lovett as well, let's not forget, pleaded guilty to cocaine possession in the past couple of months, have come to the surface, I don't see how that statement can be taken seriously.
No, and again, it's an issue within society, and a football club is a case study, just a snapshot of what's happening
in
society. But they're paid professional sports people.
They are, but I don't think it's that shameful. If it is an issue for a club to put their hand up and say, well, we're no different from the rest of society. Mm. We might have an issue here, as two independent cases have shown. Let's fix it. We're doing all we can to do that.
We're big Desi fans. I'm a big Des Hasler fan.
Who isn't?
They've 6 matches in a row now.
Yep.
They've lost. Still over there in Dunedin. They need to get a win.
Just where they needed to go, isn't
they
it?
Just, they're indoor stadium, I guess, but they need to get a win, don't they, desperately for Desi and mind you, other people who are coming off contract at the Bulldogs.
Yeah, they do, but what you'll see going on behind the surface is that Des is safe at Canterbury. I understand that the deal is all but done, the 2-year deal.
I'll be putting the ink on the paper pretty soon because...
I think he pretty much has. The players seem pretty comfortable that it's happened. The only thing is, from a PR perspective, how can the club announce it when they're on a 6-match losing streak and they have such a vitriolic fan base? Obviously, Bulldogs fans are going to go, how the hell can you re-sign this guy? We've got all these concerns over the team's attack. We haven't won a game since last August. So there's the board and the Bulldogs and Dez just need them to win a couple of games, so it's a more rosy story.
It starts this weekend, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Desi's got some interesting training techniques, comes up with other ones, but so have the Rabbitohs, it seems.
Yeah, this is a really funny one. During the off-season, I got told about this last week, the Souths under-20s team were training down near Coogee, and they began training at 4 a.m., so it's still even dark at that period of time, and they were going straight through till the early afternoon. So it was like one of these boot camp style things, which isn't uncommon.
But test them out.
Yeah, fun that.
Yeah, lots of fun. And anyway, one of the players was carrying a brick, a house brick.
Oh dear!
And he was stopped and he was said, like, what's the deal with the brick, mate?
Mm.
And it was basically an idea where each player carries the brick for an hour and then hands it on to a teammate. And it's some sort of simulation of building a wall together as a team. So I did a bit of digging into this, and it's pretty common thing from the Melbourne Storm. And where does Michael Maguire come from? The Melbourne Storm. So it's one of those tactics. I don't know if I'd want to do that type of boot camp in the middle of summer, but it's always interesting. And then last week I heard a funny one coming out of the Dragons Parramatta game. Kurt Mann played 8 minutes, and what teams like to do when a player doesn't get a run or gets a very short run is put them through a conditioning session.
Yeah.
But they normally do it the day after the game. But Kurt Mann was made to do it on the backfield, still in half his playing kit in front of the fans as they were leaving. And St. George, that they've come out this year and said, we want to be the fittest team in the comp. Well, there you go. They're certainly a drill sergeant down there.
Yeah.
How do you go with that team building, carrying bricks, and that's building the wall?
I would hit the wall.
You must have had some funny ones, Slats,
well,
in your
day.
Don't
worry about making... No, not so much. It was...
You just missed that sort of...
Yeah, it was... John Buchanan did one of those army 3 days, I think.
Remember he told Wayne to
leave. That's when Stuart McGill got injured. That's where you stay up all night and you've got to...
What did he do? What did he do, McGill?
He did his knee, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And Kasperich might have got injured as well. So I missed that.
Well, it sounds like the horse camp in New
South
Wales.
But we used to do the beep test all the time.
Yeah.
And the funniest ever was Joe Angel, big Joe Angel. And we did a beep test in Pakistan. And he thought, because you've got to get to the end as it bips and it gets faster and faster if you haven't done one. And Joey thought he could get some credits because he couldn't turn. So at the start, when it's almost walking pace,
he's
going hammer and tong, and he's got like 5-6 lengths on us, but you don't get credit with that at the end. So
you just had to keep up with
him. So he fell in an absolute heap.
He was a bit foolish.
Isn't that the one where John Buchanan said, no cigarettes, none of this, and Warnie said, well, I'm not going?
Yeah. Yeah, Warnie and him didn't see eye to eye.
Nah,
but you can go back to Dougie Walters' era. Dougie was meant to get out and do these hill runs, and he simply sat in the bus and said, well, that's not going to help my cover drive. So he just flatly refused.
Who was the worst trainer?
Well, the guy who couldn't participate like the rest was Steve Waugh. Like, he would do a bike test instead of the beep test because he had this car, some syndrome in his shins, which stopped him.
Oh, compartment syndrome.
Yes,
yep.
That's right. Which stopped him from running for any length of time. So, you know, he was probably the slackest. And Warnie wasn't great.
He didn't have to be. Josh Masood, our special guest in the seventh tackle segment here. And, of course, you can catch it on 7 News and also on Yahoo as well, the seventh tackle. But here on the Big Sports Breakfast, people, Josh, the Manly Club. People just love seeing them in turmoil. It just keeps on coming. People are happy. Any day that Manly's in trouble is a good day. Any day Manly eat their own is another great day. Love it. Go. To hell with Manly. That comes from Paramat. DCE was the reason Tuvi got the bullet. So he won't be going back anytime soon. Greg from Campbelltown.
Yeah, I can't quite agree with that. I don't think that was the case at all, really. I think there were other elements in the club that were actually on the other side of the fence to DCE.
Yeah. Hey, boys, as a Sharks fan, it's just nice to hear other clubs in turmoil and not the black, white and blue. Well, Shark is a premier.
They've had at least 12 months of clean air.
Yeah.
They're fine.
It did. And Paul Gallen caused quite a stir on Monday on our program as well when he, believing, and we've chatted a little bit, unfortunately, about cocaine this morning, believes that these illegal substances, if you test positive, shouldn't be one kept secret, shouldn't be two... get the warning. It should be, you know, you test positive, you get 2 years.
Yeah, I think Paul Gallen's an old school player, and I think his thinking is a little bit old school on this. As we said before, you've got to accept that these party drugs are just, society is awash with them. And players in their early 20s are not immune to other people. So I don't think it's a hanging offence on the first offence. I really, really don't. I think if we really vigilantly tested this and we adopted Paul Gallen's policy, we'd have no players left in the NRL.
Is that right?
Pretty much, apart from the strictly religious ones.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just don't think that's the way to go. I think they've got it right at the moment. It's really not. Look at Kyle Lovett, who was caught for cocaine possession. I mean, no conviction recorded. a six-month good behaviour bond, you know, that's from a court of law. Do we strip them of their career for that when a court of law doesn't see it fit to give a conviction? I think we've got to keep it.
Well, it happens outside of rugby league.
Yeah, it happens every.
There's
happens
a thousand
everywhere.
Cases where people know conviction recorded for cocaine use and they lose their job.
Many.
I won't go into it now, but it happens.
Good on you, mate. We've got to get
happens.
Dave Stanley in here very quickly. Josh, thank you
a
very
pleasure,
much, lads. Mate.
Good on you, Josh. Good to see you, mate. Be watching on 7 News. Get the makeup department on alert.